Responsive reading, Psalm 86. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy.
Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God, save your servant who trusts in you.
Hallelujah. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long.
Rejoice.
For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication.
In the day of my troubles, I will call upon you, for you will answer me.
Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours.
All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord. Marilyn, this is something. Read that last line again, would you? One more time. For you are what?
Great.
Hallelujah.
Wondrous things.
You alone are God. This God, the God of the Bible, our God promises things that no other God would promise. No, could be. You know why they couldn't? Because they couldn't do it. They couldn't do what God has promised us. Imagine that. All the gods in the Bible. Remember when Elijah was praying and saying, tell him, oh, tell your gods to come and light the fire. Maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's too busy to hear you. But we know that our God is not too busy to hear us. Amen. We know that our God, what? Loves us. Amen. He loves us. Anybody have somebody that you love? Do you think they're great? Lisa, do you think Fran's great? Well, he thinks he's great too. Maybe that was a bad example. Marilyn, do you think Chuck is great? Chuck, do you think you're great? No, see, that's what I'm saying. See, when you love somebody, you think they're what?
Great.
Hallelujah. And right here, Marilyn, for you are great and do wondrous things, Lord. You alone are God. Hallelujah. How awesome is that? I think it's awesome. Anyway, I think that's worth praise. I think we should praise God. I'm just saying. I think that we should just thank the Lord and praise him for all that wonderful stuff. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we played Friday night at a dinner club. God allowed me to play my music. I love God. You know, people say, well, you're a minister. You're playing your music. He said, God knows I love my music, and he gave me places to play it so I can express and play my guitar and sing the songs that we remember from the 50s and 60s into Johnny Cash, because he knows it makes my heart happy, and it makes those who come to hear us happy. Amen? But we took one break that night. And the place was full. Art knows he was there. And we talked here and there. I tried to say hi to everybody because I had no time to sit down. Never one time did we sit down and just talk with people because we didn't have time. See, but it was hard, but we wanted to make sure we went everywhere and said hello to everybody. And that sometimes is, these people could be upset. Well, you didn't say hi to me. But you see, that's who we are. And the other day I was watching TV, probably watching the news I shouldn't be watching, and I saw this person who works in our government, and they were walking through the halls of Congress, and this man had a microphone and wanted to ask the person a question. And as he asked the question, the person just kept walking, walked right by the person, didn't even acknowledge that the person was there. And I said to myself, wait a minute, they're servants of the people. They're supposed to be our servants, not our dictators, not anything, but they're supposed to stop, at least acknowledge that the man asked a question. At least, and I said, see, I don't ever want to be that way. I'm your pastor. That doesn't mean that I'm your dictator or I'm better than you. I'm your teacher because God called me to teach the word, to prophesy the word. Amen? But that's it. I'm a guy, and I hate to tell you this, but I make mistakes. Not a word. I am not perfect, but as a pastor, I do this. I listen. I listen when people say things. And I would ask you this. This is for our prayer. Hear my prayer. I'd ask you this, to know that you can come to me. If something happens somewhere and you're bothered by something, come to me. Say, you know, Pastor, I wish you'd this, or I wish you'd spend more time here. Because so many people have needs and want to talk. And sometimes it's hard when we're all together to talk to everybody. So we sit where we sit or we do what we do. But we don't do that to be away from other people. We just do what we do. Amen? Hey, I can't believe I just said that. But you can come to me because I am your servant. I am your prophet from God. I am the one professing the word. So come to me. Tell me something. If something is truly upsetting you to that point where you want to tell somebody else, don't tell them. Come talk to me. That's what church is for. That's what your pastor is for. We might not agree on everything. Trust me, I disagreed with my daddy, and I can't think of anybody I'd ever loved more than my daddy and my wife and my children. But my daddy was my hero. He was great to me. But I disagreed with him. How could that happen? So I say to you, as your pastor, as your servant, come and talk to me. Not everything we can do will come together. Not everything we do we might agree with. But I also ask you certain things. And I, before you come to me, remember that I ask you to praise him. I ask you to love him. I ask you to love one another. I ask you to do certain things with God. So check, look and say, am I doing the things my pastor's asked me to do before I go ask my pastor to do something else? I ask you to be encouraged. I ask you to just be excited about God, about your church. But understand that we're all approachable. You know why? Because we're all people. Is anybody in here perfect? You don't belong in here. There's no church in the entire world that has anybody in there that's perfect. Let me say that one more time. There's no perfect person in any church in all the world. I wish we copied what that you saw on Facebook. We are Christians, which means we are work in progress. Say that with me. Work in progress. We all are. Nobody's above anybody, but you called on me to be your teacher. So I accepted that job. And the responsibilities are great. God has even said that. Be careful when you're talking about me, because now you're talking to these people and you're leading these people. So the responsibility is great. But you can come to me and something is bothering you. Don't go to somebody else and start fussing, I guess is the worst word. And you just say, Pastor, could you try this sometime? Or can I said, of course I can try that. But please remember also that I don't have time during the... So many people want to talk. And when they want to talk to me, I need to make time for them. So we need to set that apart. So if you see me and I'm talking to somebody, maybe you're saying, maybe he's praying with them. Maybe they're discussing something. And understand that some people have needs. Amen? And just work with me. But never think that I'm not going to work with you. Never think that your pastor is above you. I am not. I am your servant. So let's pray. Pray together, Lord, that we all come together knowing that this church is the body of Christ and we are all so important, and any feelings that we have, we need to be able just to discuss it with one another, not to talk about somebody else or discuss or be angry about anything. Just go and sit down, and the person being talked to needs to understand that they need just to listen. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but just if you listen first, then we can work through everything, because we serve each other. We love each other. That doesn't mean that we're going to not have disagreements. I'm sure people here have had disagreements with their children, with their grandchildren, with their best friends. That's just a disagreement. The Bible says we don't hate people who disagree with us. The Bible even says not to hate our enemies. I pray you don't have any enemies. I pray there's not one enemy in your life, because that's an awful word. But even if you did, I pray that you pray for them. If somebody upsets you so much that you can't stand that person, I pray that you pray for them. Lift them up. Say, God, touch that person. Though you don't know anything in their life or what they're going through, you ask God to pray for them. So we're a family here. We are the family of God. You all believe this is a great church. I believe it too. We need to make it great, because what's inside this church is even greater. The heart and soul of this church are you. And we need to stand as that, knowing that the greatness lies in who we believe in. In Jesus' name I pray. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Could you sing that with us in music?
Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Our
heart prayer, oh Lord. Give him praise, church. Thank you so much. Does anybody think of anybody great? Who's great? Anybody thinking who might be great? Because this could be a very dangerous sermon, because what I'm going to do this morning is lift you up. I don't want to give you false things, but you know who's great? Look around. Look around and see who's great. Take a look around and see who is great. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of talk, and I want to give you a scripture today, but I hear a lot of talk in the world that people are saying that we should give people money. We should give people money who don't even work. The word was able-bodied, but if you choose not to work, some people say you should receive money. You should get money. And I started thinking about that in the Bible, and I came up with some scriptures. And I want you to know what God says. I mean, how many know you want to help the poor? Amen. You want to help the poor. In the Bible, Jesus says the poor will always be with us, meaning there's always going to be people who are poor in the world. Why? It's just a fact of life. Jesus said that. It's a fact of life. But there's people who are saying, well, I want to give money to people even if they don't work. I said, well, that's interesting. So I wanted to read some scriptures. This is from Genesis. Anybody ever been Genesis? Anybody remember Adam and Eve? Okay, this is Genesis. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. He put him in the garden to do what? Work. He had to work. It was a beautiful garden, the most perfect place in all the world. And what did Adam have to do?
Work.
People miss that. Hallelujah. In Proverbs, it says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich, not just with money. Amen. How many think it's good to a rich man? Rich men are good Christians. Would you rather be rich or somebody who doesn't believe in God be rich? Would you rather have your friends and neighbors who love Jesus find wealth and be rich? Or would you rather people who don't know God be rich? Because who would serve God better, the believer or the unbeliever? That's why God says we will prosper. When we prosper, God puts it in our hand to do more for who? The poor. When God makes you wealthy and rich, when you prosper, you can do more for those you want to help. You're a Christian, and that's your faith, but that's why God wants us to prosper. So when the Bible says prosper and rich, it doesn't mean money in the bank coming out every. It means that you're going to be in great shape financially, emotionally, and all sorts of ways that you can help one another. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. In all labor, this is Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. In all labor, whatever job you're doing, do it unto God. Anybody ever have a job they didn't like? They went to work and they didn't like it? Do it unto God. Say, you're not there. Trust me, I understand that, Fred. I understand being disappointed at work. I understand feeling like I didn't count. I understand that as well as anybody. But when you do it unto God, when you say, I'm doing this for God, it changes the entire picture. Are you with me? It changes how you see everything in life. When you do it unto God, you're doing it for a different reason. So anything else really doesn't matter. Amen. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Hallelujah. One more I'll read from 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Listen. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall they eat. So when you hear people talking about giving things to people who will not work, you start to say, what's this person thinking? Because this is not scripture. This is not God. To give somebody a reward for not doing anything, even though they're able-bodied to do it. We're not talking about people on disability. Amen? We're not talking about people who are sick, people who are in need. They're talking about able-bodied people who choose not to work. We're going to give them money. Start thinking, what are these people saying? Why are they saying this? This is corrupt in the eyes of God. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many think they're great today? I love this. Great, considerably above normal or average. Someone who deserves a specified description. Who would you consider great? Anybody in Derby? You know, I've talked, and I've listened, I'm guilty about this too. We talk about the people, we talk about how much church, and say, well, we live in Derby, we live in the valley. And you know, to God, that's an abomination. When I start talking like that, he said, what do? I put you in that church. I put all of us in this church. Why are you talking about the place I put you? What's wrong with the place I put you if I put you there? Do you know what I'm saying? So we shouldn't say that. Who would you consider great? Who comes to mind? Anybody here ever raise a child? Anybody here ever feed a child, ever love a child? You know how great you are? Do you know what you gave? You gave love. You know where that love came from? God. So if you have, and you know in the Bible they used to say if you didn't have children, they kind of thought that the woman thought that there was something against, that there was some evil spirits against her. That's how important childbirth is and being a mother. By the way, who was the last creation that God made? He made the trees, the flowers, the animals. He made Adam. Who was the last creation that he made? A woman. The one who carries life. The one who carries life to the next generation. God made her last. Because how special. I believe it. That's how special. He didn't make her. He didn't make Eve just to be mate for Adam and just have somebody to pal around with. She is life carrying. Amen. So if you ever took the needs of a child, anybody ever take care of a child that wasn't yours? Anybody ever teach a child that wasn't yours? Do you know the gifts you're given? Do you know how great that is in the eyes of God? I'm going to read it. But you know how great that is that you took a child that wasn't even your child and you thought to give it some food. You gave it a drink of water. You brought them in the house and gave them some lunch. You taught them something. You taught them math. You taught them anything that you did. Do you know how great that is in the eyes of God? In the eyes of who? Hallelujah. Anybody ever help a friend in need? Did you? I mean, no, really. Anybody ever help a friend in need? Why did you do it? Because you're great. Because you wanted to help somebody. Anybody ever help somebody knowing you wouldn't get anything back as a reward? You wouldn't get an applause? You wouldn't get paid back? It really didn't matter because you were led to do that? Who leads us to do stuff like that? God. When you reach out and help a friend in need, the first thing you do is say, let me help you. Do you know how great that is in the eyes of God? Do you? What is it? It's great. Say that with me. Great. Hallelujah. And you give somebody encouragement. Let me tell you something. You want to be great in this world to people you don't even know? Encourage them. You have a waitress. You have a friend. You have somebody who works at Stop and Shop. Encourage them. I told the guy yesterday at ShopRite, he was out there with the carts. Probably never heard this before, but I say, thank you for your work. You know how hard your work is, and you know how important your work is that you're out here in the rain and the snow, and you're getting these carts and you're bringing them back. People don't care. They just leave them everywhere because some kid's going to come and get them. You know how great that kid is for doing what he's doing? And I told him that yesterday. And you know what? I know that I know he'll remember that. He might think I was nuts. But it really doesn't matter. When I said to him, thank you. Oh, you're welcome, sir. Encouragement from you is great in the eyes of who? God. Who do you want to please? Not me? All right. A kind word, a smile, trust me. Thinking about other people. We're going to end later with a prayer. It's called intercessory prayer. Anybody ever hear of intercessory prayer? That's when you pray for somebody else. When you see somebody hurting, when you see somebody committing a sin that is not the unpardonable sin, and there is an unpardonable sin. When you see somebody falling, you see somebody taking a step back in their life, you need to pray for them. You don't need to go into their face and scream and holler at them. Maybe you can help them and lead them. But when you pray for them to God, say, God, forgive that person for this sin. He's committing a sin. He's doing something, Lord, I know is against you. It's called intercessory prayer when you're praying for somebody else. Now, how many know there is a sin that we shouldn't pray about? It's called the unpardonable sin. That, and you don't concern it. Will I ever commit it? No, don't. That's people who say there is no God. Nothing in this world is from God. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no gift. There's no prayer. Prayer's a waste of time. It's a phony. This book's a phony book. There's no God. God's a waste of time. That's the unpardonable sin because he is not giving God anything Amen. He's not looking at God. He doesn't believe there is a God. And that's the unpardonable sin, because he's made his choice. God said that his reward is right now, because when the time comes, and we all know that that time always comes, he will have had his reward. That's a sin you pray for. You just say, I hope he finds God. I hope somebody someday in his life finds God. But it's called the unpardonable sin when you tell him that there's no such thing is the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as God and Jesus. See, so you don't worry about that, because you guys aren't going to do that. I don't care how mad you get at God. I don't care how disappointed. Because how many know when you get mad at God, it just proves there's what? Hallelujah. Be great. I've already given you, how many? 5 examples of how great you are, Dave. You are. You want, but God, I'm not telling you from your pastor to you. I'm telling you from God. When you do these things for people in heaven, he says you are what? Great. You are a Christian. You are a work in progress, but you're working with God. He's got your back, got your front, and got your sides. Anybody, if you ever knew how many doors he shut in front of you that you couldn't go through, it'd probably scare you. To think of the things you wanted to do that you didn't do, and you sit back later and say, whew, boy, am I glad I didn't do that. So good. He sees you in a different way than even you see yourself. And maybe it's a good thing. As I was reading this and saying, boy, I'm going to tell these people they're great, and they're going to leave here all puffed up and ready to tell somebody, you know how great I am? But you know why you won't do that? Because you know God doesn't want you to do that. That's not who you are, to boast about how you are. I want you to understand how great you are in God's eyes. I want you to understand how beautiful you are in God's eyes. I want you to understand that the fact that you're here today, that you chose to come to church on a day there's snow, how great that is in God's eyes. See, you see God that way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're not even waiting for a reward. Imagine that. I'm going to go to the book of Luke. I love Luke. Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. He liked to keep records. I'm going to start at 7:28. There's not a lot of reading here, but I just want to read some scripture to you and hope that it touches you like it touches me. 7:28, Jesus is saying, "For I say to you, among those born of a woman," they're born of what?
Woman.
Hallelujah. Who is the last creation? A woman. They carry life. The abominations I'm seeing in this world from women who carry life, I just say, Lord, pray for them, Father. The gift that you have given to women, and they just want to pass it by. Hallelujah. The beauty of a mother, the gift of a mother. God, I miss my mother. I miss saying mom, you know, because when you looked at your mother, if you had a mom like mine, you felt secure. Even though we didn't have any money, there was always food on the table. I don't know how she did that. There was always bananas on the table. We always had something to eat. She always had a meal prepared. How did she do that? She paid the rent, paid the electricity. How great a mom. Moms and dads. Hallelujah. For I say to you, among those born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Hallelujah. But, say that with me, but he is least in the kingdom of God. He who is least in the kingdom of God. He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Greater than John the Baptist. Jesus is saying the least of us in heaven, the least of us in the kingdom of God is greater than who? John the Baptist. Right after he said of all the prophets, there was nobody greater than who? John the Baptist. But then he's saying in the heavens and with God, the least of those in the kingdom of God are greater than John the Baptist. And whoever you are, you're greater. Give him praise, church. This is about you today. Come on. Let's get it going. Thank you. Now I'm going to move to Luke 9:46. Thank you, Lord. Then a dispute arose among them Imagine, how many know that the disciples fought with each other, argued with each other, and had all these? So I'm telling you, if we ever have a disagreement, I pray that it passes before we even knew it existed. But if we do, just talk it out, because everything will be fine. But understand that even the disciples walking with Jesus were fighting with each other, arguing about silly things. Then a dispute among them as to which of them would be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him, and said to them, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me, his Father. For he who is least among you all will be great." Let me read that again in case you missed it. "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be" what? Anybody ever give a glass of water to a child? Anybody ever help a friend? You see the word child, you're looking at the word child, but it's anybody that you helped, you gave a drink of water to, you see? And God doesn't want you to be childish. Say that with me. He doesn't want you to be childish. He wants you to be childlike. Understand there's a big difference. When somebody, Pastor Grace did something one day that just made it all work for me. I don't know if it'll work for you, you know, different things. But she took a little, at one of our services, she took a little three-year-old and she put him on the altar like this. It was like there. And she stood about 2 feet away and she said, "Come on, jump." And that kid just jumped. See, that's childlike faith. There was no hesitation. There was no doubt. She said, "Come jump." And the little kid jumped into her arms. I said, "That's it." Childlike faith. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus wants from all of us, even you, Fred. He wants you to love him as you were a child, pure, and just not get your head all wondering about all kinds of things that are confusing. He wants you to be childlike, not childish. So when you help somebody in your life, you have done an act of God, and God in heaven looks down and says, "Man, Lisa, you're great. You're great." You might make mistakes with your children. I'm going to tell you, you do. You might make mistakes with your grandchildren. That's life. That's called life. Amen. But you are great. And someday they will understand that. Even if you don't think today your children or grandchildren understand, they will someday. They will say that. How many said that, "I didn't know back then, but thank you, Mom," or "thank you, Dad, for what you did for me"? You see, you get that. You start understanding that. Say, "Phew, I'm glad they did what I didn't understand then." But see how great that is to do that. That's from God. And I'm not making it up. I want to whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. That means his Father. For he who is least among you all will be great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go to the book of Matthew. Y'all are doing all right?
Yes.
I don't want to cut back. I'm so excited that we decided to have church this morning, because there's so much to share each and every Sunday. I'm going to read from Matthew 25:31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him." How many? Yes, it's everybody. "And he will separate from one another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked or clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" Hallelujah. When did we see you sick in prison and come to you? And Jesus answers and says, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for one of the least of these, my brethren, my children, my family, you did it to me. Each and every time we sing in a nursing home, I just thank God that I have that chance to touch people. Lisa, I know you do it too, and I know you understand. Where we're going to be this afternoon, there's two floors that we play on. And the second floor, they might bring out 30 people. Maybe 30 people, Sue. And my wife and I will be singing to five of them. Because the rest will be in wheelchairs and they'll be out of it. Or they'll be staring into air. They won't even understand. But we do it. And we let the music soar and let it ring to try to give them some kind of a peace, some kind of a gift in their heart and their life that they won't have from anywhere else. How many know that music is medicinal? It truly is. I've seen miracles with our music. I seen a man one year, and I remember this because the St. Patrick's Day is coming next week. Right, Franny? God bless you, me boy. There was a man, please understand how, there was a man in a, not a wheelchair, but like a bed wheelchair. And he was there, and his daughter was with him. And she was rubbing on his hand, and he wasn't there. And we started singing, it was St. Patrick's Day, and I started singing some Irish songs. And the next thing I know, I looked at her face, and it changed. The man in the chair started talking to her. They started having a conversation as we sang Danny Boy and you know all the Irish songs and My Wild Irish Rose and all them great songs of McNamara's band, and he actually heard that somewhere and he woke up, and they had this wonderful conversation and they were talking. I said, look at this. And don't you know, about 5 minutes after the music was over, you could see the curtain come down again, and she came over and she said, that's the first time I've talked to him. And you see, the music, that's why going to these places, the Bible says when you go to these places, maybe you're not called to do that, but when you go and visit these people, you absolutely change their life. You might not get the applause. They're not going to, trust me, this afternoon when we sing, they're not going to be clapping. They don't know the clap. And they're going to be complaining and calling other people, and they're going to be standing up when they're not supposed to stand up. And they're going to be walking and bumping into people, and they're all going to be fighting with one another. But that's why we do it, because they have nothing, they have so little left that every one of those persons would trade places with you in a tenth of a second. So when you're doing things, when God calls you and leads you and you accept to do those things, it changes their life as much as it changes yours. Isn't that beautiful what Jesus says? When you gave somebody a drink, you gave it to him. When you gave somebody a shirt, you gave it to him. When you helped somebody else, you did it to him. When you helped a neighbor, you did it for him. All the beautiful things. When you were sick, if you visited somebody in the hospital, you did it for him. Because you're called to do that. That's why we need to pray for flow. We need to have flow back in our church. We need to have her here, her body here, because she is joy. Amen. She loves this church. She loves you, and the church loves her. We need to pray for everybody. Everybody here is as important. Everybody here is needed. Amen. That's what makes the church whole. But isn't that some of the most beautiful scripture that we hear in Matthew from Jesus? You gave, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. And you did it to me. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And John closes with this, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Hallelujah. The most forgiving man in the world. the world, the most forgiving, loving, kindest man in the world, came here to give us his word, his Father's word, to teach us. Hallelujah. And he lives inside of you. The most forgiving man in the world has called you his family. The most forgiving, loving, kindest man in the world looks at you as family, brothers and sisters. He said that. Who are my brothers and sisters? You are. You are Jesus' brothers and sisters. You are part of the family of God. You are Christians walking with God, doing for God, acting for God. You should have that build up inside of you. You should have it well up inside of you that you cannot contain the joy in your heart for all the things that God is doing and going to do for you and all the gifts that you possess because you are family of God. That makes you, Second Congregational, great. Give him praise. Hallelujah. He took the bread, blessed and broke it. My body being torn for you. He said, eat and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. He shed his blood for the remission of your sins. He did it for you because he loves you and because he thinks you're great. Show me your ways that I may walk. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you, Lord, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me ways, stronger each day. Show me ways. I can do all things because Christ has strengthened me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for accepting us this morning, Lord, as we do this in remembrance of you. Someday you'll understand this even greater than you do today, and all the thanks you will give for everybody who's loved you and led you to this. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name we remember. When you do for the least of us, you did it for him. When you help somebody, you did it for him. When you tell somebody, give somebody a smile, you did it for him. When you encourage somebody, you did it for him. The gifts that you possess from the Father, he tells you, you are great. Give him praise, church.